Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Workforce Central Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. My name is Ron Painter, and I'm going to be your host today. And today we are going to be talking about, and I just love this, we're going to be talking about measuring impact. We're going to be talking about data, and we got two people who are with us from EMSI that, and if you're familiar with EMSI, this is like data heaven. Love hanging out with you guys and talking about labor market information and labor data. Let me do a brief introduction. John Hawkins is with us. He's a senior consultant at EMSI, working with clients in workforce development, economic development, and the private sector. And John, we want to make sure we get a little conversation about the private sector use of data. John specializes in strategic workshop planning, community economic development, and transportation and community planning. He is EMSI's subject matter expert on the Innovation and Opportunity Act and how EMSI or MZ, can we say that, John?
Absolutely, yep.
The marketing people don't get like fired up if I say MZ, right?
No, most of our customers call us MZ, so a little bit easier to roll off the tongue.
All right, cool. And joining John and I today is Brian Points, and he is EMSI's Director of Consulting Services, where he manages custom consulting engagements along with a host of standardized products, including MZ's Workforce Investment Impact Reports, Program-Specific Economic Impact Analysis, Educational Gap Analysis. He is the lead consultant for the new Skills at Work initiative for J.P. Morgan Chase. And outside of MZ, he serves as a board member of the Economic Development Council. How do you say that, Brian?
It's Latah.
Latah. And where is Latah?
That is the county that Moscow, Idaho is located in.
Oh, so we are reaching you guys in Moscow, Idaho, though. Idaho.
That's right.
Awesome. John, Brian, welcome, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Who wants to tell us a brief overview of MZ?
This is John. I can go ahead and do that. So EMSI has been around for about 15 years. Really kind of started in the education space, and as we all know, education is very closely tied to workforce development and economic development. So the marriage and the blend of those came very naturally to us. We started actually doing economic impact studies, and that's morphed over the years into this data capture LMI tool resource that NZ sort of become in terms of our standardized products, but we're still very much involved in impact studies. We've done something around 1,500 impact studies for community colleges and workforce boards across the U.S., a number of private sector impact studies as well. So that's really kind of the focus. Like you mentioned in my bio, you know, my specialization is working in the workforce sector, so I've taken it upon myself to really study WIOA and get an understanding of how we can help our customers be better equipped and ready for WIOA implementation in terms of using labor market information and impact analyses.
And you guys, if I can put a plug in, you guys don't just talk about community development. MZ really lived it, right? Your new offices are an old rehabbed or a rehab of an old building in downtown Moscow, right?
Yeah. We the local newspaper moved buildings, kind of downsized, and it was just a big vacant building right in the heart of downtown Moscow. So we came in and completely renovated the building. We're now up to 115 employees, and we brought all those employees to right downtown Moscow in a new rehab building. So it's fantastic. It's great being right downtown and, you know, being able to walk across the street to get a cup of coffee or go to lunch. So
it's awesome. I appreciate it. I've been out and hung out with you guys for a day, and it's beautiful territory out there and a great staff. Really enjoyed spending the day with you guys. John, Brian, I like to say to folks, if we thought WIA was interested in data, WIOA is, or the INO Act is obsessed with data. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys are seeing as you read the INO about where, you know, what impact it's going to look like? What are some of the challenges that you see in recognizing, measuring this impact?
Absolutely.
Well, one of the great things about WIOA is I think that it's going to cause workforce boards to focus a lot more, and the metric requirements have gotten more specific, which I think is going to be helpful in knowing what you're supposed to be tracking, though there is an issue with that that comes along with that as well, which is that some of the activities that workforce boards are involved in, we know intuitively they have a positive economic effect on the region, but it's sometimes difficult to measure. It's sometimes intangible. If you have a session where you're teaching people basic job skills or you're helping people improve their resumes, you know, how do you turn that into a dollar figure that you can measure? That's not easy to do, and really what we've seen is that a lot of the more proactive workforce boards are the ones that are most involved in those things that are, you know, core services. But the things that are easy to track are adult changes in employment and earnings for adult workers and dislocated workers, and you know, sometimes those can be deceiving too, depending on what's going on in your regional economy. So it's going to help with focus, but the challenge is also going to be dealing with the fact that a lot of the ancillary things that workforce boards do are typically a little more difficult to capture, because unless you want to go to the extent of, you know, asking the identity of everybody who comes through the door, tracking exactly what they've done at the board, finding out 3 months from then what the outcome was, which is a bit cumbersome as far as data collection. So that's, you know, we see some goods and some challenges coming out of it as well.
I was just going to ask you, Brian, so like, what are some of the challenges that that you guys see as being different or being more, I don't know, intense or exacting under the INO?
Yeah. The cooperation element, I think, is going to be a challenge for in some cases as well. It's so the explicit requirement that there must be in the strategic plan, which is more frequent, which is going to be a challenge too. In the strategic plans, there must be an element of cooperation between economic development, education, and workforce development. And a lot of boards are already doing that, and then other boards are, you know, making an attempt at it, or some of them just are not doing it at all. But it's important, and there's a good reason that it's in there. On the consulting front, we've dealt with some regions where you have a very good economic development entity and you have a very good workforce development entity, but their collective impact is kind of muted by the fact that they aren't cooperating in terms of what occupations are most important to the region and what industries should we be nurturing. You know, they're each doing their own thing, and that can hurt. So, that I see as being one of the biggest challenges as well.
So this is really trying, or in part, really continuing this conversation out of WIA in developing a common strategy, a common vision for what do we think is important in the region.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it's aiming for, and it is certainly a noble objective, and one that, as I said, if that can be accomplished, that's going to take the the activities of all of those entities a lot farther.
So one of the questions I was wanted to follow up is, so if we're thinking about the challenges that are out there and what we're looking at, what's some of the new infrastructure that you guys are thinking that locals are going to have to be thinking about? What are in boards that you're working with, and I know you work with a lot of boards already, what are the things that you're suggesting they're going to have to maybe beef up, or they're going to have to add?
Really, the message that we're, you know, when we go in and work with a board, for example, we'll do one of our workforce board impact studies and deliver the results in a draft format, and they say, well, this is good, but what about all this other stuff we're doing? Kind of what Brian was alluding to earlier. You know, there's all these other things that we're doing that are great, and we say, okay, where's the data on that? Well, we don't have data. So really the most critical and biggest thing that we're trying to instill in our customers is capture what you're doing. Take a picture. Like, you know, you can't prove you can't prove an impact. You can't prove the work you're doing if you can't document it and you can't show it. So, I mean, it could be as simple as snapping some photos, keeping an Excel spreadsheet of, you know, we served 100 people in this resume workshop that we do annually, or we held a job fair and we brought 25 local businesses in to the convention center in town, or, you know, into the gymnasium and worked on interviewing skills with our participants and things like, you know, it's all those little things that they do, that they're, all of the boards are doing, they're participating in at some level, but it's not a specific WIA requirement to capture that. So, you know, all of those activities are going undocumented to some extent. You know, get the newspaper to write an article about it. Those are the fantastic things that are rippling through the economy, but if you can't capture it, if we can't quantify how many people you served, we can't put a number to that in terms of dollar figures. So,
and to add to that, I think the same goes for interactions with people in the business community. It needs to be formulated in such a way that there's a system or a spreadsheet or something that says, these are the companies that we are regularly in contact with. These are the questions that we ask them. These are the industries that they work in. This is the proportion of the overall workforce that we are tracking through talking to these companies. Rarely do we see boards that have that level of information infrastructure about what they're doing.
When you guys, I mentioned earlier, John, you do a lot, Brian, I'm assuming as well, do a lot of work with private sector companies. Is that one of the differences that you see between private sector companies and maybe, I don't want to make a generalization and say all nonprofit or the nonprofit boards that you work with or boards you work with, but is this idea of really measuring what we do, really trying to account for how are we achieving our goal, whether it's delivering product on time, on budget, or hitting a revenue target or a profit target. I mean, is that one of the major differences between what you all see from your private clients and our world? Is this, I don't know, insistence or this really strong focus on measure what we do, capture what we do?
Yeah, I would say in some ways that it is, but I wouldn't say that it's, I wouldn't universally apply the rule that entities in the nonprofit and government sector are bad at tracking and private companies are good at tracking. I think every, you know, it's unique and in one sense the public sector entities have to report information back to their funders, whether that be, you know, the federal or state entity that gave them the money or the taxpayers themselves wanting to know, what are you doing to justify your existence? Whereas, private sector companies often don't, and they can kind of, there can be some loose cannons on that front as well.
Ah.
I think that it's easier to scrutinize things in the private sector space because because it directly affects profit, which directly affects everybody who works at the company. But they're the same kind of human nature elements apply, and sometimes people don't want to be accountable, and sometimes people do. And at least in the public sector, there's a bit of a leg up with the fact that it's usually some form of requirement about it.
Just to add a little bit to what Brian said, you know, some of the coaching that we do for our private sector customers are things like internal data capture, you know, the strategic workforce planning side of things. You know, really, really large companies, you know, big multinational companies or companies that have, you know, locations all throughout the United States and have, you know, thousands of employees. They may be experiencing high job turnover or having a hard time filling certain positions. And, you know, the first thing we ask them is, okay, well, what kind of data metrics do you have on your actual employees? And sometimes they just shrug their shoulders and they don't have anything. So really it's coaching them to track these data as well. The companies that really get it are very strategically focused. They know about their workforce. They know all of the demographic information about the people that work there, so they can, you know, they know who to target for certain positions and things like that. They're starting to use labor market information much like the WIBs would, and when they're looking for regions or when they're analyzing expansions and things like that, you know, kind of how a site selection consultant would do. Some of your private companies are starting to do those things to really understand and leverage their supply chains in their regions. You know, they're beginning to dig into the data so that they can go to the workforce system, you know, almost a head up on the game a little bit and really, you know, use the data to help drive those strategies that they're trying to bring to the regions. Some of the bigger companies are even reaching out directly to the education sector as well, you know, much like a workforce board would do to develop programs and things like that. So there's definitely a broad spectrum.
Cool. Let me step out half a second and remind folks that you are listening to Workforce Central, Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, D.C. I'm Ron Painter. John Hawkins and Brian Points from EMSI are joining me today. We're talking about data. We're talking about local workforce boards, what they can be doing in prep for implementation of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Brian, on your point, I mean, how can are these areas that when you're talking to the boards that you guys work with, are these some of the points that you're making to them about how they can assess their readiness for not only the Innovation and Opportunity Act, but it talks about efficiency and effectiveness of the workforce system? Are these areas that you guys regularly counsel the boards on that you find they're, I guess everybody, the way you're saying it, everybody could walk through these questions?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. When I do consulting work, a big component of that is always the best practices. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. Find somebody who's dealing with a similar problem and then utilize what they're doing that's working well. And John has a couple of good examples of that that he'll go over here in a minute. But it just comes down to that, is that sometimes there's frustration in the workforce from workforce boards about a lack of understanding about all of the good things that they are doing, and all that you can, and we recognize that to be the case, and all we can do to encourage them to help other people see that is tell them to track as much information as they reasonably can without it being a major burden, and that's the only way that people are really going to know, and it's the same goes for anybody in any job that they have. It doesn't usually just saying I'm doing a good job is not enough. You have to provide data and evidence to show that.
And there are changes coming to the requirements for tracking, right? For tracking the individuals in WIOA.
Yeah, John probably knows more about those details.
Yeah, it's definitely more intense in terms of the typical measurements and for adult and dislocated worker. Those are enhanced a little bit. I think the biggest change really is in the youth sector or the youth component of it, where there's a lot of new metrics that are going to be required to capture in youth services, which I think is a good thing. Workforce boards spend a lot of time working with youth. Youth certainly have a very large economic impact. You know, the younger somebody is getting trained up and educated, they're going to spend more time in the workforce making, you know, having taxable earnings and spending money in the economy. So there's a lot to be said about the youth services and all the work that happens there. And I think that's one of the areas that's traditionally been lacking the most. I mean, there's tons of activities that workforce boards are doing with youth that aren't documented. And, you know, not to just keep beating on this one, but those are the critical activities, whether it's a career fair at the high school or, you know, any of the various things that can take place in terms of youth services. Those are things that really need to be captured. And, you know, we're not going out and telling everybody to, you know, spend $20,000 and put in some elaborate data tracking system. It could be something as simple as a spreadsheet or a Word document on Google Docs that people share and just keep track of the number of events and the number of people that you helped and snap a couple photos and stick them in a folder. You know, it doesn't have to be this elaborate system for tracking. Just whatever works, whatever you can afford and whatever makes sense for your staff. It's definitely going to be a cultural change for a lot of folks and just getting that mindset of we need to be documenting this stuff.
When one of the
another tracking element that's a more nuanced point that make a difference. One of them is that wage changes are now going to be tracked by the median rather than the average.
Yeah,
and that makes
huge
a difference because it's you can't just have a you know a big change have a large effect on your average. And also there's the durations have changed. So whereas it used to be, say, in some cases it was say 2 quarters measurement of wages 2 quarters after the person gets a job. Now it's 3 quarters or 4 quarters. So it just adds a little bit more teeth to it in the sense that it's not just about getting somebody a temporary position, but it's about getting them into something that will last.
Yeah.
To the extent that it's in, obviously you can't control the economy, but that's what they're with WIOA they're hoping to accomplish is getting people into more stable long term positions.
Retention and education, mm-hmm. and retention and employment,
exactly.
And tracking that is going to be huge.
So is it safe to say that if I've already done an impact analysis on the work I'm doing now, is it safe to say, or can you do the look to say, so as I move forward, what are those services that I'm going to need to put more emphasis on? Because the youth, you're going to have a decision, right? It's now 16 to 24, so you're going to have to look at that gray space of older youth and what you've been doing in adults that has made a difference. And I know it's somewhat unfair, but I mean, do the impact reports, would they help me understand that?
I think the impact reports, the way that they are now, it was the youth section, again, because of the lack of data requirement, that's probably the section that had the littlest amount of quantifiable detail for us to study. So it was really hard to put a number to it. So, you know, in the studies that we've done, the youth sections, the benefit cost ratios for the youth programs are consistently low, even though intuitively we know that that's not the case. They should be really high because of, like I was saying, the amount of, you know, the multipliers or the ripple
right.
effects of educating and training youth. They go a lot farther in your economy than say, you know, somebody that's 45 or so, you know, they're going to be in the workforce a lot longer, so they're going to have a much higher impact. But the lack of data makes it, you know, virtually impossible to measure those and quantify those. So,
but
so that's
is,
clearly then
with
the new
requirements on literacy rates have been removed, and now it's all about movement into, well, there's still
yeah.
the employment outcomes, but now there's the education outcomes and retention in education. So that
mm-hmm.
is going to make it easier for us to quantify those things in the future.
Yeah. And we can begin to model our education models. We can say the impact of a community college based on all the training activities that they're doing with students, and we can begin to do those types of studies at the youth level if they're in education.
So this is if we're thinking about how do I prepare as a local board to look at outcomes under the INO, what I'm hearing you say is youth is a prime place to look at what kind of data you've been gathering, what kind of data you're going to need to make these decisions. So it's clearly an area, right, that I've got to take an internal look and see what do I have versus what maybe I had in the adult side.
Definitely.
John, you mentioned earlier, no use to reinvent the wheel. Organizations that you guys see that you think are doing some interesting work, some good work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple of different regions. I guess the to start off with, I'm not going to use a workforce board. I'm actually going to use an economic development corporation in Dayton, Ohio. The Dayton Development Coalition is doing a lot with labor market information in terms of efficiency with their own internal staff. The limited resources of time and staff are huge. Most of the workforce boards throughout the U.S. see this. You know, there's only so many hours of the day, and there's only so many days of the year. And if you only have a couple staff to do these things in terms of community engagement or business engagement, which is a major focus of the new act, who do you target? Who do you go work with? Oftentimes, it's kind of more of a reactionary event, I think. It's these businesses came to us asking for help, so those are the businesses we're going to help. But really taking a step back and looking at the data, and this is what they're doing out there in Dayton, they're using some very key strategic data metrics to get an understanding. It's almost like a target industry analysis that they do every year, and it sort of aligns their strategy for that year. We can only serve 100 businesses this year. That's the limit of our staff.
Wow.
So which businesses are going to give us the biggest impact to serve, whether it's businesses at risk of layoffs, so layoff aversion, or businesses that are primed for expansion, or what businesses, if we beef up, can we start to attract new businesses to our region? So that supply chain analysis kind of work. There's lots of metrics that can be used to pinpoint specific industries that are going to have the biggest impact for the workforce and the economics of the region, that have economic prosperity, and have higher multipliers on your region. So it's the WIBs are charged with serving all of the businesses in the region, and there's only so amount of time, so which businesses should we target first, really, is the emphasis there. So
that's, you're saying part of that is if not hanging out, waiting, saying, if one of these critical businesses call us, we're ready.
Yeah.
It's proactively thinking about who.
It's using the data to help inform you what businesses might be at risk or what businesses would it absolutely devastate us to lose. And understanding that, and that business needs to be on your list every year. If there's a major player in your region or a major industry sector in your region that makes up a large component of your workforce, that would be a terrible loss. So, things like serving those businesses and just having those ideas, that's where you can start to bring in the education sector and, leverage the community colleges, make sure that the president of the community college or the chancellor of the district understands, here's where our focus lies on these businesses and here's why. And then they can start to go in and take a look at, the education gap analysis. Are we producing enough talent to keep these businesses satisfied, or are they going to have to start looking at other regions for talent or to move on and things like that? So that's a major
one. So it's really all,
and that really connects everybody.
And that's the challenge, almost like the community challenge, right? It's not just that you got to have a good economic development organization, you got to have a good workforce board. You have to have a good dialogue and a good working relationship between the two.
Absolutely.
And the colleges, too. You've got to bring the colleges on board.
Let's talk a little bit about...
Another example would be... Just another quick example would be the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The economic development, workforce development, and the education sector down there, the Tarrant County Community College District, the chancellor there, they've built a fantastic partnership. You know, they've got the Dallas International Airport, which is a major player in their economy down there. We were down this last October for the IDC conference down there and heard from the director of, you know, the CEO of the airport group down there. When they take a business trip, say a recruiting trip to Japan, they bring the chancellor of the college, they bring the director of the workforce board, and they bring the director of the Economic Development Corporation with them to all of those meetings. Anytime anybody comes to town to meet, all three of those people are in the room at the same time, and they're all on the same mission working together. And it's really cool to see the collaboration between those groups down there. So,
and makes a pretty powerful combination.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about, I know that Analyst is one of the products that you guys have, and it's been continually tinkered with and made better. Tell me a little bit about how you see Analyst fitting into this new world of the workforce boards, or the expanded world of the workforce boards.
Yeah, some of the reason why I'm diving into Wiela, you know, how can we better serve our workforce clients? What are the day-to-day issues that they're facing? What are the quarterly tasks, or, you know, what kind of reporting requirements are they going to have to do in terms of the local plan and the statewide plan? You know, there's certain aspects of those very intensely focused on LMI. How can we put together workflows to save our clients time? To get them the decision-ready data that they need. They don't need to spend months pulling data, scraping data, building spreadsheets, and then trying to analyze it. How can we build our tools? How can we set up these reports such that they're pulling all of that background data that they need to where they can sit down and look at the analysis that's in front of them and make decisions based on what is already presented to them? So it's really about helping with efficiency, pulling in the right metrics, and then, you know, sort of as an aside to the tool itself, our customer service team, you know, everybody that's an Analyst customer gets a dedicated customer service rep who are subject matter experts on all of the different data metrics, how they apply. So we can help coach folks through, you know, these are the metrics you should be looking at and why, not just saying here's a data metric or here's a spreadsheet. So it's really that education piece of getting people understand why would you need to look at this piece of data.
And again, you guys have been nice enough to let me come and hang out as you have done some of that training at your annual conference, and it really is I will say for me it is really fun to look at the data, to see what you guys take people through in terms of, so you're not just looking at numbers, how do you use this data?
Mm-hmm.
You all are going to be with us the end of March, right? We appreciate MZ being a silver sponsor at the forum. You guys are going to be there, right?
Absolutely. Yep. This is John again. I'll be there. We'll be there with our exhibit booth. I have my workforce subject matter expert in terms of our customer service team. He'll be with me as well. I'll be on one of the impact session panels, and I'll be leading a workforce sort of a one of the workshops, I guess, related to labor market data and some of these things we've been talking about. You know, how do you use these data? What data are important, and how do we target businesses? I'll be using the case study of the Dayton Development Coalition heavily in that presentation. To really hone in on using data to target business partners.
Oh, cool. We have a couple of minutes left. John, Brian, kind of closing thoughts on what you guys see ahead.
I think, with again, kind of bringing this all back around, it's really about the microscope is going to be really focused on the workforce system with this new with the new law, with what's in place in terms of the reporting requirements and the new data metrics, the intense focus on the collaboration with economic development and education, and the intense focus on using the labor market data to drive the decisions. So really putting in place early on strategies to do that. How are we going to use data to target specific needs of our region, to build those partnerships, and then you have to track it. You absolutely have to track it, because when the legislature, you know, when the folks out there in D.C. say, okay, show us what you've done, it can't just be a story anymore. That's not going to cut it anymore. The stories are great, but we have to put numbers to it.
And don't wait for that moment, right? Don't wait for the moment when the meeting is tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We got to be ready. We got to think ahead and think about what can they ask and how, what data do we need to capture now so that 3 years from now we can tell the story with numbers.
Great. John, Brian, thank you very much for joining me. John Hawkins, Brian Points from EMSI. We've been talking about data and what workforce boards and local areas need to do to prepare for, and I liked what you said, the new challenges and the new accountability that is going to be put back on the workforce development system as a result of the federal legislation and really changing patterns, business patterns, and economies in local areas. I'm Ron Painter. You've been listening to Workforce Central, Blog Talk Radio from the National Association of Workforce Boards in Washington, and I look forward to joining you again soon, and hopefully you will be joining us at Forum 2015 here in Washington.